Today is the last day of the hurricane season and the first day of the season of Advent. Those have more in common than just the coincidence of the calendar. Each one calls upon us, shows before us the necessity of being prepared. Unless you just moved here, you know about being prepared for a hurricane. You know you can't wait until the last minute to put up shutters, to gas up the car, to buy supplies, to charge up your cell phone. You have to be prepared, have to be ready in advance. This first Sunday in Advent calls our attention to the second coming of Christ. During Advent, the church prays to Christ, "O come." For one of the things we are awaiting is his coming again in glory. Now, the words of Jesus recorded in today's gospel reading tell us a number of things about his second coming. They tell us some of the circumstances and the effects that this will have on various groups of people. But above all, these verses show us the need to be prepared for his coming. When our Lord first came into the world, he came in great lowliness, born to a poor girl in a manger, raised in an obscure town, so on. When he comes again, he will come in all his glory. Three times in our text, Jesus refers to himself, in foretelling his coming, he refers to himself as the Son of Man. This was a term that our Lord took from the book of Daniel, chapter 7. In that chapter we read, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." By calling himself the Son of Man, when speaking of his coming again, Jesus was indicating that he would come again with all the glory and majesty that were his as one like a Son of Man. All the glory and majesty that were his as God alone. Jesus is coming again, and he is coming in judgment. In our text, he compares his arrival to the great flood in the days of Noah. The flood in Noah's day was an act of judgment of God on the world for its sin, its impenitence, its unbelief. Christ compares his second coming to the flood of Noah's day, for he is coming again to judge all peoples and all nations. Christ is coming again in judgment, and he is coming at a day and a time that we do not know. In our text, we read these words of Jesus: "You do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, if the householder had known at which watch of the night the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not think he will." A thief is able to get away with his misdeed because he comes at a time the householder cannot expect. Jesus compares his coming to that of a thief in that we cannot know when he is coming again. In fact, Jesus said in our text, "Concerning that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." To clarify these words of our Lord, we must be aware that Jesus is speaking here of himself according to his human nature in the state of humiliation. Now, during his earthly ministry, Jesus did not at first make full use of all the power and glory that were his as God from all eternity. We call that period of his life and ministry the state of humiliation. From the time of his resurrection, Jesus has entered into what we call his state of exaltation. And there, according to his human nature, he does make full use of all power and glory and majesty that are his. So when Jesus says he did not know the hour of the second coming, he was speaking of himself according to his human nature in the state of humiliation. Although as God from all eternity, he always knew when that day would be. And in the state of exaltation, he knows also according to his human nature. Our Lord's words are very clear here. We cannot know when he is coming again. So any preacher or other religious leader who might claim to be able to predict the time of the second coming is at best misguided. And is at worst a proclaimer of a false gospel and a false way of salvation. And before we continue, it also must be pointed out that Jesus is here speaking of his coming at the last day and not of some earlier event that is called the rapture. Some Christians claim that an event that they call the rapture will precede the last day. It will be a time when believers are raised from the dead, when the believers on earth are snatched up into heaven, and only the unbelievers will be left behind. The words of our text refer to different treatment that different people will receive at the last day, not to some imagined event known as the rapture. The fact is, believers and unbelievers will all be resurrected at the same time, and they will all be resurrected at the last day. That this is the case is proven by these words from John chapters 5 and 6. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forward. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The words of our text describe the second coming of our Lord, and they make it clear that there will be some who will not be prepared for him to come again. Just as in Noah's time, there were those who were unprepared for the flood. Jesus said, "For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered into the ark, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." We read in the Old Testament of how life went on as usual during the 120 years that Noah and his family spent preparing the ark for the great flood. But there were people, the majority of them, did not believe that there would be this great flood. As we look at the world around us, we see that not a whole lot has changed. Life goes on as normal, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, go on, without any thought as to what is to come. Now to be sure, that is not to say that there is anything wrong with eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Rather, the point that Jesus is making has to do with the lack of concern and preparation for his coming again. When all of this activity will come to an end, for the coming of the Son of Man will be like the coming of the flood in Noah's day. In our text, Jesus describes the lives of the people of Noah's day. They went on as usual until the flood came and took them all away. The destruction of the flood was God's judgment against the people of Noah's day for their impenitence and unbelief. So also Christ is coming again. He is coming in judgment, and he will bring judgment on those who are not prepared, for those who persist in their impenitence and unbelief. The people of Noah's day were swept away by the flood because they were not prepared for it. So also there will be many who will not be prepared for Christ coming, and who will not escape the judgment that he comes to bring. Shortly after our text, Jesus tells us what awaits those who are not prepared for his coming. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he does not know, and will punish him and put him with the hypocrites. Their men will weep and gnash their teeth. The Son of Man is coming. He is coming for judgment. And he is coming at a time that we cannot know in advance. And therefore, he impresses upon us the importance of being prepared. He says, therefore, watch. For this reason, you also be prepared, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not think he will. Noah and his family were prepared for the flood. And so they escaped the judgment and destruction that came on the world at that time. The householder who is prepared for the coming of the thief escapes the ransacking and pillaging of his possessions. So also one who is prepared for the coming of the Son of Man will not suffer the judgment that he comes to bring. He will be delivered from the judgment of the Son of Man because of what the Son of Man himself has done for us. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man when foretelling his second coming, but also when predicting the work he would do for the world's salvation. Jesus foretold as the Son of Man that he would be betrayed into the hands of sinners, would suffer and be put to death, and on the third day he would rise. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man when foretelling what he would do for our forgiveness. By his death and resurrection, he has delivered us from the judgment of the last day. Therefore, there is only one who can deliver us from the judgment of the Son of Man. That is the Son of Man. Only through Christ, crucified and risen, will we be delivered. Only through believing in him can we be delivered from the judgment of the last day. And so it is only through faith in Christ that we can be prepared for his coming. Constant preparation and watchfulness are necessary to escape the judgment of the last day. That comes through faith in Christ. And so it is so important for us to nurture and to feed our faith through the regular use of Christ's word and sacrament. It's important that we regularly hear the word of Christ. Read it and study it on our own. Reflect upon the significance of our baptism. Receive his body and blood in his holy supper, all for the forgiveness of our sins. In that way, we heed Christ's call to be prepared for his coming, to be prepared through faith in him. And if we are so prepared, the last day will not be one of judgment, and one of the greatest blessings. We will be spared the judgment of the last day, and we will receive all the blessings that Christ promises to those who are his. If we are prepared through faith in him, then we will receive the splendor and glory of the resurrection to life eternal in the glory and splendor and perfect joy of his eternal presence. At times, it is difficult to believe that Christ will come again. At times, it is difficult to believe that there will be a distinction between those who put their faith in Christ and those who do not. And yet, Jesus' words recorded in our text assure us that indeed he is coming. He says, then two men will be in the field. One is taken and one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One is taken and one is left. You and I live in the world, but we are not of the world. The time is coming when we will be taken out of this veil of tears, when we will be taken to the joy and splendor of eternity. Those who are prepared through faith in him will be taken to eternal life, escaping the judgment of the last day. Advent is a time to think about the coming again of the Son of Man, and to prepare ourselves for his coming through faith in him. Because the one who is coming is not only our judge, but also our Savior. During Advent, we pray to him. O Adonai, and ruler of the house of Israel, who appeared to Moses in the burning bush and gave him the law on Sinai, come with an outstretched arm and redeem. Amen.